everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you. Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, 2022, also happens to be my wedding day. It's the wedding day anniversary from a long time ago, so a happy anniversary to my bride, Anne, on this May 5th. Tom, it was a
long
time ago.
Where was your wedding? Where did it take place?
It took place up in Phoenix. The church was designed by the team at Taliesin West, the Frank Lloyd Wright team, First Christian Church up there in Phoenix. It was a beautiful early May day, and I look at the wedding pictures now, and I kind of see a resemblance to the guy in that picture with the kind of long hair. And
but isn't there a Tucson connection with your courtship?
Indeed there is. So not only is it our wedding day, but 5 years previous to this particular day, our first date happened here in Tucson while we were at the University of Arizona, a restaurant called, and Steve Christie is with me here in studio, Pima County Supervisor. Steve, you probably remember the restaurant, the Iron Mask.
Oh, sure, on Miracle Mile.
No, it's right over on Grant, which is it is now the Kingfisher.
Yes, I'm confused with the other one on...
Yep, the Iron Mask there on Grant, and now the Kingfisher. So a couple of days here, we'll to go over there and see how it's looking these days. Have a good meal at the Kingfisher. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie, who is a Republican, the lone Republican on the 5-member board. Steve represents District 4, which is a huge district spanning from Mount Lemmon through the Tucson Tancredi area, Rincon Valleys to Corona de Tucson, and then west to Green Valley.
And all of Vail.
And Vail. So is the district going to be pretty much the same?
Pretty much the same. There's just a few precincts that had to be changed because my district was one of the two that had the highest increase or an increase in population. And, of course, the redistricting requires that the population be level among all five districts. So we had to actually reduce precincts in our district in order to meet those requirements because the three other one and four actually had substantial increases in population in the last 10 years, and 2, 3, and 5 did not. So that had to be taken into account in the redistricting process.
So there's a lot of growth in your district?
Oh, we had some 20,000 new residents in the last 10 years in District 4.
Boy, it's a lot of new roofs.
New roofs, and understandably so. It's a wonderful district. It's beautiful. The lifestyle's great. The whole local economy is booming, and as a matter of fact, we are number one in growth in Pima County. So, as I pointed out, there's a lot of reasons for it, and I see nothing but continued growth there as well.
A lot of news came out of that meeting yesterday, the supervisors' meeting. There were a lot on the agenda, and let's begin with still the continuing fallout from the former Pima County Administrator, Chuck Huckleberry. Chuck's successor was here with us Friday on the show, Jan Lesher, who is now the Pima County Administrator, and she was talking right at the beginning of the interview that you had requested a change to the whistleblower law that is in effect in Pima County. This came up yesterday?
Yes, it did. You know, this whole issue, unfortunately, it's really shaken the county to the core.
I mean, right to the foundation.
It really has, and it's a very sad situation, but nonetheless, it needs to be addressed and to cleared up. And certainly, at this point, there's not much that can be done one way or the other because what's in the past is in the past. But nonetheless, I think the county residents are asking and searching for some explanation, for some rationale, for some definition of why this happened. And I think it's incumbent upon the Board of Supervisors, and if my colleagues don't agree with me, I would gladly take the mantle, and I plan to anyway, to try to at least uncover or delineate what actually happened and who was knowledgeable and when they were knowledgeable and how this happened and why it wasn't done on a more transparent public basis as far as Mr. Huckleberry's termination, resignation, pay plan, retirement plan, and all of the other elements that took part in this saga. And unfortunately, I don't see that this saga is in any way at a point where it can be resolved or ended very soon.
You had a op-ed in the Arizona Daily Star along those lines. You said the Huckleberry saga leaves a black cloud over Pima County.
It does.
So what will it take to see the sunshine again?
Well, I think an explanation of who knew what and when. It's the old adage of who was involved and what did they know and when did they know it. And I think people, at least in my office, the emails that I'm getting and the phone calls that I'm getting and the letters that I'm getting are people are demanding an investigation. They're demanding an explanation. They want to know how this happened and why was everybody caught off guard and why was there so much surprise element in Mr. Huckleberry's retirement. And I think we as elected officials owe it to our constituents and to the community and to the county to uncover the trail of what happened and why it happened and to at least give some sort of an explanation so we can understand the whole situation, because right now nobody can understand how this happened.
So you put up two items for discussion adjacency to the whole transparency issues surrounding the Huckleberry retirement. Is the county going to move forward? What were those suggestions?
Well, the first one dealt basically with the whistleblower policy. I think what we had in place at prior to my asking that this be looked into at the board meeting was kind of a rather generic boilerplate type of a whistleblower policy that you'll find in any kind of a governmental body or any kind of an organization for that matter. And it's very generic, and it deals with the basics of if you see something that you don't think is ethical, or if there is activity going on that doesn't meet the smell test, and those are my words, it's incumbent upon that employee to report that incident or that occurrence and not have to worry about any kind of retaliation. I feel, in light of what went on and what we did find out a couple of meetings ago, for instance, County Administrator Lesher put out a memorandum stating that Mr. Huckleberry told some 11 employees, which he defined as closely held information, to be kept closely held in that regard. And bottom line was not to let the public know about it. And I felt that the whistleblower policy that we have in effect now, or prior to yesterday's meeting, Tuesday's meeting, was that didn't go far enough, because it talked about employees seeing activities among other employees. My concern is when employees see their manager doing these issues, and that when a manager says to an employee, don't tell anybody, or this is not for public consumption, and this is just between us. I felt that it needed to be further defined and further clarified that it's not just employee to employee. It includes, and particularly is more important, that the manager and the employee have this understanding that the employee can blow the whistle on a manager and not face retaliation for doing so.
That's a tough one, though, because, you know, if your boss tells you something, you know, you're worried to blow the whistle.
And I think this is exactly, you know, what we saw in Mr. Huckleberry's case, because this did take place back in July, and it went all this time up until recently, last few weeks. So there was apparently, I would have to say, some fear and trepidation on those employees that had this closely held information and didn't divulge it, because they probably feared for their jobs and their futures and their retirements. And so I think this really needs to be addressed. So that was one of the issues that I put forth.
The other one had to do with records requests, right?
Yeah, we've been noticing that when entities such as news organizations ask for what they call a FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, request of documents, that it seems to take forever for those documents to be released. And that taking forever for release started to, I think, disturb Mr. Mark Evans, who was in charge of Pima County communications, and he started to feel worried that there was too much of a lag time between the request for the documents and the actual conveyance of them. And the issue that I think that is even more troubling is my office or any office is notified that there is a request for documents, but we don't know what those documents are. And then when they're conveyed to the entity that's asking for them, we don't know what documents were conveyed. And we're blindsided in this whole process.
Hmm.
And it I think had a lot to do with the fact that is illustrative of it is that when people found out about Mr. Huckleberry's retirement going back to July 4th, everybody was surprised. Well, perhaps if some of those documents had been released in accordance with the FOIA procedures in a timely fashion, this whole issue might have been addressed before Mr. Huckleberry's tragic accident and much longer ago, to the point that maybe we could have had some resolution to all this matter by now. But now I think it's just starting.
All right, let's talk more with Steve Christie. But right now, Supervisor Christie, want to talk about my favorite bakery in town. And I know you love sweets. I know you love chocolate chip cookies especially. And really, you've got a sweet tooth. Let's put it that way, Steve Christie.
I will admit that.
Well, if you've got a sweet tooth, the place to go is Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. They're open right now, the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. When you get in to the bakery, you will then have a very big decision when you look at the bakery case. What am I in the mood for? Right about now, let me see what I could go with. I think I'm now moved from the bear claw over to the carrot cake. So I think a piece of carrot cake, Steve, would be real good right now.
Well, what you know the menu much better than anybody.
I do.
What is the most decadent, sweet, dripping with all kinds of naughty things that you would recommend? Because I think I could go for whatever that would be right now.
Probably what they call a Napoleon.
And what's that?
Well, it would be a very sweet item with chocolate on top and filled with whipping cream. It's like an eclair, something like that. Man, that would be very decadent.
So after you eat it, you'd want to take over the world? Is that?
You'd have enough sugar. Yeah, there'd be a sugar rush, I guarantee you that, especially if you had it with a cup of some of the dark roast coffee. So
that's why they call it a Napoleon.
There you do. All right, monasdanishbakery.com is the website. Again, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Open right now for lunch. Open for breakfast at 6:30 Tuesday through Sunday. More with Steve Christie right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. And I do want to say a quick couple of words about Green Things. We love Green Things. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. This is the perfect time of year to go over there and find out and ask the very knowledgeable people the obvious question. Look at, we're in this historic drought. What will get us to hopefully the summer rainy season with some beautiful things in the garden? That seems to be the obvious question, and the answers will be forthcoming from their very knowledgeable staff at Green Things. Their website's greenthingsaz.com, and they also have the sister business, zocalovillage.com, all that wonderful merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Steve Christie is with us. We continue now with our conversation with the Republican District 4 supervisor. He's the only Republican, the lone Republican on the five-member supervisorial board. Before we move on to something else, a final thought about the Huckleberry matter and what you feel would go a long way to kind of, looking for the sunshine.
Well, I think it's the core issue that's on everybody's mind and on everybody's thoughts, and that is, why was it a secret? Why did it have to be kept secret? Why did this happen all the way back in July, a full 3 months before Mr. Huckleberry's horrific accident? This is when that happened. Why was it kept secret? And to what end? And what was the purpose?
Yeah, because Mr. Huckleberry was doing everything within the law.
There's obviously no infractions of the law that we can tell. Mm-mm. But by the same token, if that is indeed the case, then why keep it a secret?
How about this electronic voting? That came up yesterday. Supervisors approved vote center locations for this upcoming election. Were you the lone dissenting vote on this one?
Yes, actually, that issue of implementing a vote center program was several meetings ago.
I thought that was Tuesday.
Yeah, no, Tuesday what we dealt with was an update on how the process of implementing it is going.
Mm-hmm.
I have grave concerns about the entire process of a wholesale change in our voting procedures that we've enjoyed in Pima County for decades. It's removing the precinct level, which to me removes transparency and local control. When you have a neighborhood precinct, you know who is coming to vote, you know your neighbors, you know who is voting properly and who's voting improperly. That's all going away, and they have replaced it with a very high-tech system that worries me considerably, particularly in the short term that we have in order to get it up and running, processed, programmed, secured, installed by August 2nd for the primaries and prior to that for the mail-out ballots. And they're reducing the precincts from some 140 down to roughly 120 voting centers, and it allows for anybody to vote in any one of these voting centers wherever they live. In other words, if you happen to be in Marana and you want to go over to Vail, you can vote by taking your ballot over to Vail. There's no accountability of the fact that are you in fact an individual that resides in the precinct that you are saying so, because there are no more precincts. Plus the iPads that hold all the voter rolls, they're all controlled by the internet, and internet connectivity is a severe problem in Pima County, as we all know. And the locations of the voting centers are going to be all basically new and different from where the precincts were. And if you don't have your ballot with you, you can walk into any one of these voting centers and have it printed on demand with a printer. So not even going into the efficacy of the security of the votes themselves, but you've got iPads that have the voter rolls on clouds and in the internet. You have ballots on demand by printers that are set up, and you have voting centers where you can vote anywhere in Pima County, no matter where you live. That's a whole different issue. The other issue that's so concerning is this was put into effect in Phoenix back in 2016. It was a fiasco. They had voter lines for hours, and it took weeks to get the tabulations on the same system that we're now implementing here in Pima County. And
what's the point? Supposedly convenience?
Apparently for convenience, so they say, and make it easier for people to vote. If you happen to work in Marana but live in Vail, you can go to Marana and drop your ballot off. And on top of that, this is a very intricate and detailed election cycle that we have coming up. We have the governor's race, we have U.S. Senate race, we have congressional race, we have a whole slew of primaries, school boards.
It's going to be a long ballot.
A long ballot, and this is the first one we want to run a brand new system into. That has never been tried before. There's no plan B, no backup. What happens if something goes wrong? What happens if the internet crashes? What happens if there's a power shortage or they can't get the equipment in time, in place, installed, chain of supply issues? I'm very concerned, and we had a great discussion with the new elections director and the county recorder, and to them, everything's rainbows and unicorns. Well,
Constance Hargrove was there.
Yeah, she talked at length.
She's the new Pima County elections director from Virginia.
I questioned her at length, and she basically doesn't see any problems, and that this should go without a hitch. And I find that very hard to believe. It passed some meetings ago, 4-1. I voted against it. So now we're faced with this voting center implementation. And to me, it just has so many kinks in the armor that instead of enhancing security and confidence in our voting system, I think it's going to degrade it terribly.
And this, on another subject quickly, the drought is so bad right now. We've had less than about a half an inch of rain the whole year. May is notorious, Steve Christie, as you know, for being pretty much the driest month of the year. Your district is Mount Lemmon. I know people love to get away up there. There's a new hotel, which is doing a couple of new places to stay. Be careful, everybody, please.
Yeah, we have we just instituted the FireWise system and commended our Mount Lemmon Fire District for the work that they're doing. And we're asking all HOAs throughout the county and to take the example of the Mount Lemmon community for what they've done in order to educate people about the dangers of fire.
Thin out the brush around your property.
Absolutely. We're going to be working with the Sheriff's Auxiliary at the base of Mount Lemmon to warn people and educate them about the fire dangers. And this is the time when we really need to be vigilant.
We need to make it to the rainy season. We're going to have to get through it because there's no rain.
And the new lodge up there is taking reservations online.
Are they?
Through December.
Wow.
So things are looking good up there.
Great place to go to cool off this summer. All right, Steve Christie, thanks for your pleasure. Thanks for the pleasure coming in. Do you still have that mantra?
I'm not sure which one you're talking about. But haven't said it before, I love being supervisor.
I think that's what it is. All right. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thank you, Bill.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. What say we use the live line right now to go to Vail, Arizona, the home of Dr. David Levy and his observatory. Dr. Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science and former science editor, Parade Magazine. He's now head of and founder of the Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. Dr. Levy has almost two dozen notches in his belt for successful comet discoveries. Dr. Levy, how are you, sir?
Oh, fine, thanks. And it's good to speak with you, Bill. And, you know, you might say that the looking for the 24th notch in my comet belt is probably going to take the rest of my life, because I'm still searching, but I really don't expect to find any more comets.
Well, you never know. Hey, what's this about? I hear you have a new telescope.
Yes, I do. It's Eureka, which is was actually given to me from Explore Scientific, a very fine telescope designer and builder in Northwest Arkansas. And anyway, it's a beautiful, beautiful telescope, and I use it quite often to search for comets. And it is just so clear, and it's easy to take apart and put together again, and it's just lovely.
Well, speaking of telescopes, pretty exciting about the James Webb telescope.
Well, yeah, your manager is talking with me about it just now. It looks like we're just about ready to start doing science with it and using it to take magnificent pictures of the night sky. And I'm hoping that we're going to be able to really use it. I'm hoping it's going to have a career at least as successful as Hubble's has been up till now, and still is doing good stuff.
Are you excited about this? What could be, has the potential to be, a spectacular meteor shower coming up this month?
Yeah, I was just telling Tom about that. It's this could be something. In 1995 or so, comet Swashman-Walkman 3, as it was approaching the sun, just started to break apart. And it broke apart into four or five pretty equally bright pieces, and you could actually see them in the sky together. Then a few years later, it broke apart again into even more pieces. Anyway, on the 30th of May at 10 o'clock in the evening, Tucson time, the Earth is going to plow through the debris of the comet that was created that night. And we're just going to go soaring right through it. We may see nothing. However, we could see hundreds or thousands of shooting stars within just a few minutes.
Wow.
And so if you can, around 10 o'clock, at 10 o'clock on the night of May 30th, go outside and look up at the sky just to see what's happening.
So there's really no way to predict really what we're going to see.
No, there's no way, and I've read a lot of the articles about it, and they kind of say that the meteors are going so slowly we may not even see them. But I know when they're bright and they go slow, they're a lot easier to capture with a camera. So I think this is a good thing. I think we're going to have a lot of good stuff on the night of May 30th.
Do we typically, how many total eclipses of the moon do we have in a year? Is there any average?
Yeah, we can have as many as two.
Okay.
Theoretically, we should be able to have as many as three. If one of them is right around the 1st of January, then a second one in June, we could have a third one in December. But this year we're having two, and the first of the two will be on the night of the 15th at moonrise. So it'll be early in the evening, we'll be able to see it. The interesting thing about that, Bill, is that the last few months, there have been a lot of volcanic eruptions. There was one in the Pacific, an undersea volcano near the Hawaiian Islands, that just blew up. It's putting a huge amount of dust into the Earth's atmosphere. This dust darkens the atmosphere and could darken the eclipse. The darkest lunar eclipse I ever saw was the morning of December 30th of 1963. And that one, that was one of these three moon eclipse years, and that one, the moon at mid-totality was absolutely invisible.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's the darkest one I've ever seen.
So I've noticed that, so this undersea volcano, the dust in the air, we're seeing a lot of it. I thought it was maybe just from the fires we've been having in New Mexico, but...
Well, actually, you're right, Bill. It's the dust that comes out of the volcanoes is really something by now that would be in the way upper atmosphere,
okay,
which we wouldn't notice from the Earth. But when there's a lunar eclipse,
yeah,
and the moon goes through the whole shadow, then we see how dark it is.
Okay, good explanation. Now it's time for the Dr. David Levy quote of the month on the Buckmaster Show.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I started to do my first project, which was to look at the moon, identify 300 craters on the Sky and Telescope lunar map, and I did that. And as I was doing that, one crater at a time, I came across a crater called Rabbi Levi. Seems interesting because it's a similar name to mine. And recently I found out that Rabbi Levi was actually Levi ben Gerson, also known as Gersonides. And I have a few philosophical quotations from him. The first one will definitely relate to those of us, all of us, who are worried about Ukraine right now. A peace that comes from fear and not from the heart is the opposite of peace. And the second one is right here. And as soon as I can get to it, it's also a quote one. It says, words of wisdom and warning. Do not lose sight of wisdom and understanding, but preserve them always.
So this may sound like a stupid question, but again, there are no stupid questions when it comes to science. What about these craters on the moon? Pretty much all of them have names, right?
Yeah, they all have names of some sort.
Yeah.
And they're almost, and all of them formed by impacts from comets and meteorites and asteroids hitting the moon over its lifetime.
Well, there's a crater up there that hasn't been named that we could name Dr. David Levy.
Well, I need for you not to say that too loudly, because the only way I'll get one is someone shoots me or kills me or runs over me
or something. Okay.
You have to be dead, I'm not ready for that.
Pretty important point there, David Levy. All right. David, thank you very much. I think we're all booked for your appointment in early June. Thank you, sir.
Yes, we are. Okay, and thanks a million, Bill.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Have a good rest of your day.
All right. Let's take a break right here, and then we have the consulars in the house. Don Luce. Lots to talk about on the legal front here in Arizona. Be right back on Buckmaster.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes such a great getaway. Thank you, Tom, for putting up the midday temperature. 72 degrees. You can't beat that. If you want to do some hiking, perfect temperature over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. The website for more information is Southwest New Mexico, just spelled out, .org. And there you will find what to do. Lots of things to do, where to stay, lots of great places to stay, and here's the good part, only a three-hour drive approximately east of Tucson. We are joined now in studio with attorney Don Luce of the Luce Law Group with offices right here in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster legal contributor. He's also the author of two very popular books and much needed books, I might add. Arizona Laws 101, much needed in a state like Arizona, which has a very robust history, let's put it like that, when the legislature gets together and passing new laws. Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers. And of course, the other book has to do with something we all need to think about and then act upon, estate planning in Arizona, what you need to know. Both books are in their second printing. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thank you. And by the way, before we get started, yes, happy anniversary.
Thank you so much, Don. Appreciate it very much. All right. The Roe versus Wade issue, the leaked document, it's really unprecedented, isn't it?
Yes, and it's problematic on so many levels. I actually had my staff print out a copy of the first draft, which
was... Well, how many pages was that?
Nearly 100.
Oh,
This is the draft that Justice Alito authored back in February, and these drafts, by the way, which are subject to change, are not to be published or circulated or made available for public consumption, but as we all know, that protocol was breached, and this draft is now a matter for public discourse. And as you've seen over the past couple of days, it has prompted some pretty strong reaction on both sides. Witness the number of people on the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court and the Secret Service and Marshals erecting barricades to prevent access by the public to the court during this period, because this is such a hotly contested legal issue.
How many people might have had access, Don Luce, to a draft like this? What's your kind of rough guess?
Well, generally speaking, somewhere in the neighborhood of 40. If you're looking at law clerks, So each justice has four law clerks, mm-hmm. but there are some extra law clerks as well. The chief has started an investigation to try to find out who might have leaked this document, but it's not personally and professionally. I think this is a very bad precedent. It is difficult enough for the court to take care of its business. It's made more difficult if its draft opinions are being leaked to the press, in this case Politico, because now we're having a debate about a case that hasn't even yet been published. Therefore, it hasn't yet taken effect. And as we've seen in the various states across our country, the legislatures are taking action to essentially figure out what they're going to do.
Based on a draft.
Yes, when this opinion gets published, if it's not changed.
Well, it is troubling because whoever did this felt this needed to be judged upon in the court of public opinion.
Exactly. But as we know, the justices do not stand for election.
Right.
They have a lifetime appointment. And in that sense, they're insular from the sort of public pressures that other bodies are subjected to. Even Arizona Supreme Court judges stand for retention elections. So this is a very special body that ought not be subject to the type of political pressure that is attempting to be exerted in connection with a pending opinion.
And then, of course, here in Arizona, there will be repercussions. And I wanted to take a deep dive into that, if we could, Don Luce.
Sure. So there, this is, for me as a lawyer, this is extremely interesting that there are actually two laws that are going to be on the books in Arizona this year, unless something changes. There's a 1973 statute, which was pre-Roe, that basically makes abortion illegal, okay? That statute has never been repealed. That statute is still on the law books, but it's unenforceable presently because under Roe versus Wade, states cannot have laws like that. But the legislature this year, in anticipation that Roe would be overturned, also passed a law or enacted a bill, which was signed by the governor, that makes abortions after 15 weeks illegal. And that is to take effect, like all statutes, 90 days after the session ends.
Right.
So the session hasn't yet ended, but will end soon.
Mm-hmm.
So 90 days after that, we will have this 15-week law on the books. So then the question becomes, which law controls?
Yes.
Is it the 1973 statute, which was never repealed, or is it the 2022 statute, which will take effect sometime in late summer or early fall?
So which would have precedence, the older
Governor law? Governor Ducey believes that the 2022 statute will supersede the 1973 statute. But interestingly, the proponent of the 2022 statute disagrees, and here's why. The statute says, and I'm going to quote directly from it, does not repeal by implication or otherwise 13-3603, which is the 1973 anti-abortion law, or any other applicable state law relating or restricting abortion. Well, okay, so the statute has this language in it. So does that mean then that the 1973 statute still stands? Don't know. And is the Supreme Court has now put this back in the hands, well, if this opinion is published, which everyone predicts it will be, this will be back in the hands of the states. And so Arizona, like all of the 49 other states, are going to be having this dialogue and this debate, and the elected officials in the various states are going to decide what is right for their state.
Wow.
Yep. Right now, 13 states would ban abortion immediately or very quickly if Roe is overturned, which I believe it will be, based upon this leaked draft opinion. There are five states that have pre-Roe abortion bans that could be enforced again, And Arizona is one of those five states. And then there are other states that are somewhere in between. But the point is, we are going to have, if Roe's overturned, a patchwork of laws relating to the subject matter, and it's going to be different by state. Some mm-hmm. states will be very similar, some states will be very different. So that's going to be interesting from a legal perspective, because it's going to be basically the voters of each state deciding what's right for their state.
So abortion, the whole issue of abortion, will be left up to each state, pretty much. That's what we're looking at.
Yes. Now, there is another possibility.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's likely, because I don't think there's support for it in the Senate, but Congress could codify the issue, mm-hmm. could essentially pass a statute to make Roe a statutory right instead of a constitutional right, which the Supreme Court, I think, is prepared to say doesn't exist.
Hmm.
Congress could do it, but right now, given the composition, there's not enough support for that. But I think it's going to be, I think it's going to come up for a vote in the next couple of weeks, especially given the debate that is occurring nationally on the issue.
Well, we'll have to keep a close watch on that. Do we have time? And I think we've only got a couple of minutes, but this whole issue that went before the Arizona Supreme Court last week about taxes, could
sure.
you summarize that?
Yeah, we'll talk about money.
Okay.
Okay,
let's
so
do it.
Here's the issue in a nutshell. The legislature enacted a tax cut reform,
yes,
which is generally going to lower taxes,
mm-hmm.
Probably lower taxes more for the wealthy than people of modest means.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, it's a tax cut bill. A group of citizens collected enough signatures to essentially stop it and put the issue on the ballot.
Yes.
Because in 6 months, our next election,
yes.
we're going to have various ballot proposals.
They gathered the signatures. I presume they had enough, right?
Yep, they did.
Okay.
It was challenged. It was taken to court.
Mm-hmm.
And the proponents of the challenge said, no, the Constitution of the state of Arizona does not allow citizens to put these type of matters on the ballot. You can't have a referral for this kind of a matter. It was argued before the Arizona Supreme Court late last month, and 2 days after oral argument, the court issued an order agreeing with the challengers, saying this does not go on the ballot. The Arizona legislative proposal will take effect, and it cannot be challenged by a vote of the citizens.
Hmm.
Interesting, right?
It is. Does this dilute the whole the initiative process in any way?
It's very limited to this specific factual
about
yes
taxes.
Yes. Now, interestingly, Prop 208, which mm-hmm. did pass in 2020,
yes,
and it was called at the time Invest in Ed.
Mm-hmm.
That was found to be unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's happened in the last couple of months is the Arizona Supreme Court has basically said no tax hike on Prop 208. They found the proposition unconstitutional, and they said the tax cut bill of 2022 can stand without a challenge on the ballot. So there you go.
All right. Thank you very much, Don Luce, the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, both books in their second planning. Don Luce of Luce Law Group, offices here in Tucson and Phoenix. We will look forward to his visit the first Thursday of June. Thank you, Don. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Bill.
On behalf of Mr. Luce and Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.